How many have your Bibles today? Let's get all our Bibles out, get them clear here. Something about a Bible, the Word of God, separates us from the rest of the world. There's a lot of non-believers that scoff the Bible. They make fun of it. They laugh about it. Do you know what? Something God doesn't laugh about the Bible. It's His holy Word. And He's given it to us for accountability of our own lives. I want you to turn in your Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 15. Now, we're starting back in the early part of the Bible. The flood's already happened. A lot of history's already prevailed. The creation period's over. Now, God is calling a man to fulfill His plan in Genesis 15. It's not in the garden. It's not just somewhere in an idle place where you say, well, I got a little job for you. This would determine the future of the whole universe. God makes a covenant with Abram at that time. Chapter 15 in Genesis. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram into a vision, saying, fear not. Get these words now. These are powerful. This is what he's interpreting, what God is saying to him. Fear not. Do you know fear has so many people gripped today, they don't know what to do? They're afraid of everything. My family has cancer going through it. I'm not going to graduate. I can't get my kids. I won't be able to do this. We live on the negative side. Get out of that hole and pull yourself up and start looking at the positive side. God said, fear not, all through the Bible. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Once you realize the full armor of God's on you and God is your shield, and a great reward is for you, this is worth going after. This is worth standing, holding your ground. This is worth holding on to. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't fall down and say, I can't get up. You get up anyhow. In verse 2, and Abraham said, Lord God, what will thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one bone, one born of my house, and my heir. Behold, the word of the Lord. Now listen, behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he shall come forth out of thine own bowels, shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad. Now listen, abroad, and said, look, see towards heaven, tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be, so shall thy seed be. And the Lord, and he commanded and counted it to him as for righteousness. Now this whole chapter is powerful, and I don't want to take enough time to read all of it. But God told him that, he says, you're going to have a seed of children more than you'll ever be able to count. And he was going to the Lord and said, I'm seedless. I have no heir. I have no children. His wife was mocked because she didn't have a child. Everyone that knows anything about the Bible reads the story of Abraham, and they had come to a consensus or an agreement. He was an ordinary man who is made extraordinary. Most people, as we know in life and believers, are ordinary people. Who would ever thought a dairy farmer growing up on a dairy farm milking cows? And that can be a bummer of a job. You think about getting kicked. You can get kicked so many times you knock your head off. It's a dirty job. It's a hard job. You don't do it once a day. You do it twice a day. But there's a young man named Billy Graham. Grew up on a dairy farm. Ordinary. Said he's a farmer. That's a good thing. But God made him extraordinary. Reached the world. 100 years. You understand how God can do? We're talking about Abraham now. I want you to get a grip on this so strong that you're going to rise up. Wherever you're at, what you're doing, I can do more. I'm capable of doing more. Now, I should be very careful here today because I have two witnesses that I went to high school with here today. And if they would have thought when they was in high school with me they would not say, I never thought he would be in the ministry. I'm not proud of it. That's who I was. Well, Charles has been my friend for, I don't know how many years, back in the early 50s. Over 50, 60 years. Peggy, we went to school together. I wasn't always in your top classes, but I mean, I was in the same school. I was always in the same school. I never got, I had a brother made the honor society. Get the little pin, you know. Well, teachers, I would come along and said, are you in the same family? Was that your brother that come through here? Yeah. Oh. It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. Carolyn, my sister-in-law, is here today. I want you to pray for Betty. She got stung by a bunch of bees. She was out there working on cleaning the sidewalk off, hit a bush, and all those bees come up and stung right through her clothing. So I was going to have to take you to the hospital. No. And finally, I got went to the drugstore and got some stuff from that. But she's it's not funny. I mean, it's very serious. But the thing is it was inconceivable. Her mother, Carolyn's mother, told Betty, I forbid you to get in this car. That kind of give you an idea. And I don't know why. I was never arrested. All right, Abraham was crying to God about not having any children, and God said, I'm going to give you a seed that'll be more than the stars. When you look into the heavens, it'll be more than you can count. Now, that seems impossible. That seems like I don't even have a child. He's talking about my seed will be bigger than the stars of the kingdom. Can it be any bigger than that, that someone comparing you childless to having children that'll be more than you can comprehend? And if you ever looked up into the stars on a clear night, especially if you ever go up to Alaska, boy, can you see them up there. And you get into the northern part of Europe, you can see them. It is so beautiful. Abraham's going to have more kids than that. No way. This is hard to believe. But an extraordinary man was the one he was talking to. He calls him out. He was like the founder of what we would call Judaism today. The New Testament says that God called him to be a friend of God. Way over in the book of James 2:23, we have that listed where they have called Abraham friend of God. Don't you want to be a friend of God? See, I mean, this is serious business. Be a friend of God. Be a friend of God. Moses, much later on in history now, we're talking Abraham, Genesis 15. Moses later on wrote about Abraham and said, and he believed in the Lord and he accounted it for righteousness. Wow. Okay, can you believe that now? All the way up through the Bible, here we're hearing now New Testament guys saying, here's what they're saying. Romans 4:3. Somebody find that real quick. I want you to read that. Romans, the book of Romans, right after Acts. There you go. I know you got it. Here it comes. Here it comes. Romans 4:3. Anybody real loud? Woo! Verse 22. Same chapter. Anybody? All right, right standing with God. Do you realize Abraham now has been all the way from Genesis up into the New Testament? James is writing about him saying he was a man in right standing with God. I mean, this thing followed him. This was no little light acquaintance. This was not a brush incident. It's not where he just went by one day and said, oh, hi, Abraham. No, this put down, I mean, this put the quarter down and said, this is where it is. He made a marker. I don't have the extra time to do all this, but Abraham was called the father of many nations. I don't know anybody's nations. I know people that say, well, George Washington, the founder of our nation, you might say. But Abraham had many nations. Many. The founder. Abram became Abraham. It's so important that we realize he was called Father Abraham for a reason. Father God, not on the same level, but he was obedient and the righteousness. He set the example for us to live, to look up to Father God on the level he was on. Our goal is to be like him. Our goal is to be Abraham trained, Abraham informed, and be true to God all through our lifetime. Stay true to God. Stay true to God. Don't walk off. Don't back up. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't quit. Don't say, I can't. Say, I can do all things through Christ. There's a way to overcome every situation. Abraham was the man. And to top it all off, he lived in Ur of the Chaldees, which is the backside of the Babylonian Empire. And his father had a shop where they sold images of false gods. He made false gods' faces and statues. And Abraham in the shop helped him sell them and make them. He started out in the most unbelievable situation. Don't most of us start out with a false god, sin, the devil? And boy, do we have a good program for us. He teaches us all the ways that are wicked and ungodly. But old Abraham, when he got looking into the stars, he began to realize, this is my destiny. This is my future. He left Ur of the Chaldees. Father God told him that if he would follow directions, he would get him into a land that would be eternal, everlasting. In those days, you talk about going somewhere. At the most, he got what he could get from his family, maybe a few camels, some people that would join with him, and he headed out, looking for a city, looking for a place whose maker was God. Do you know that's what our life program is all about, being born again? We're looking for a city. We're looking for eternal life. We're looking to be with God forever. We're on a journey, folks. We're going somewhere. We've got a destination. We've got a place to meet. And when we meet, it's going to be glorious. First time I went out to Yellowstone National Park, we had driven for quite a while to get to where we was at, and we could have gotten there late at night, and of course the park's closed. So I said, well, we'll stay here. I was with my son, Jason. I said, we'll stay here tonight. We'll get up early in the morning. We'll be the first ones in the park. That's how anxious I was to get there. We got there, and nobody was there. The place was even, they hadn't even opened the gates up yet. I mean, the turnstiles. So I said, well, we'll just wait here. He said, Dad, why do you get anxious about all this stuff? You know what I mean? I wanted to see it. I wanted to get inside that park. But oh, when we got inside, went to this big lodge, and they have a breakfast there that fit for a king. Then I began to look around. Animals are everywhere. Old Faithful's outside getting ready to top off, and we're going to be the first one. We're standing there and say, we're right in front row. We're going to see it. But you know what heaven is? Its national parks won't even light a candle. What my Father has prepared for you, he said, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. It has not prepared what God has prepared for you. It's not been seen yet. And you've seen some beautiful things, I'm sure, in your lifetime. You might think, well, this is the most beautiful thing. No, God's got something we've not seen. So when I look at Abraham, I begin to realize there's an assignment on his life that's going to take him so strong that if he fulfills it, they'll be reading about him in the Old New Testament and very end of the book. When I read there in chapter 15, there's a term that said it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now, that really has a very important significance. When you account something to you or someone, it means to impute, reckon, credit, assign to someone's account, assign the value of this righteousness that God was giving him. I think the church has lost the value of righteousness. I don't mean 100%. I'm saying, see, when I refer to the church, I'm talking across the board, not to an individual. I'm so embarrassed over the things that's going on in our churches and denominations around the world. And it seems like nobody even wants to look at it. They totally ignore it almost. Pass the buck to somebody else. I'm not mad with anybody. I'm just disappointed. And it's in all areas. Don't believe me. It's not just one kind of church. We're living in a very, very difficult time. We've never been this way before. We've never walked this path before. There's a falling away. There's a icing cold. Look at all these empty chairs in here. This place should be full. But I know what time we're living in. We're living in the end times. And I can't change that. It's going to come to pass. Surely it's going to come to pass. This church was full for so many years. Extra seats, extra chairs. Used to bring the kids' chairs out for people to sit in. I'm not mad about it. I'm just know what time we're living in. In such an hour you think not, the Son of Man cometh. He is coming. Abraham went into a city where he didn't know where he was going. He said, I'm looking for a city. There was no city. There was the potential of a city. You know the whole story with Isaac and all. Remember the time he wanted to take him with him? The Lord said, take your son with you. We're going to make an offering. Well, what a job that was. Who would be willing to lay their son down and say it's an offering? Because I believe in you. You know the beautiful thing about that story is it was up on the Temple Mount, what we call the area God has created for, he has his hand on, his eye on, from the beginning. Abraham was one of the first ones went up there and offered up a sacrifice. And when he laid him on the altar, he was going to take the knife, and when he got through the hand up, the little boy asked him, he said, where is the lamb? He didn't say lamb, where's the goat? His father drew the knife up, and he hears a groan, and here in the back, here's a little baby goat, baby ram. Now, why wasn't it the lamb? God had the lamb for his son when he was crucified. The pagans are the ones that offered up goats and things like that. But the lamb is the Lamb of God. Now, this is all up on what they call, it's so important you understand this because it's reality. It's real. In Israel, inside of the Dome of the Rock, there's a rock called a foundation rock. Foundation rock. And that was it's the center of the earth. Geographically, you can map it all out. It's the center of the earth. That's where God created the Garden of Eden, right there. He didn't go out in the jungle somewhere. There was no jungle. There was no place to go. He went to right where he went and performed all these miracles. Over the years, that Dome of the Rock has been the most sacred place. The Ark of the Covenant rested there. That property went up for sale one time, and King David bought the whole thing. He said, I'm buying all of it. And he wanted to give it to him. He said, no, I'm going to pay for it. Bought it back. How many times that redemption story is told there? We were bought back. We were in sin. He delivered us out. Abraham now is delivering something that he had no idea. Isaac and Jacob were a dream. He said, I have no children. But oh, did God have a plan? God's got a plan for you, a plan for you. There's a plan, a perfect will for your life. It's just like put that in your shirt when you get born, right in your diaper. How many of you ladies remember washing diapers every day and hanging them on the line? Raise your hand. I thought we surrendered. I come around the corner of the house, and there's about 40 diapers on the clothesline. I said, uh-oh, she surrendered again. It was a rough job. I'm going to tell you, when they invented that one you throw away, oh, it was a mess, I'm telling you. But you see how things were? At Abraham's time, it was tough. Everybody was against him. Nobody was for him. Everywhere he went, he had to take. But, you know, God prospered him and blessed him. He had his own army. He had his own defense system. God prospered him in such ways that whatever came up against him, he was able to handle it. God's going to prosper you. Anything comes up against you, you can handle it. We're the head, not the tail. We're above and not beneath. We're not going under. We're going over. We're going to the other side. Abraham, we're not looking for a city. How many times have we got to look out for something? Oh, God, where are you at? He's there. He's not lost at all. We're the one that's trying to do this. Bob and weave and jump and move. Where are you at, God? Where are you at, God? He's there. Act like you believe it. He was called unto righteousness. Now, most of us have lived an adult life. I've never had anything, I think you're righteous. I think you're a righteous person. You don't say that. But they'll tell you what they, you do something else, they'll tell you what you are. Scoundrel, crook, robber, thief, go on and on and on. Prisons are filled with people who are called bad names. I mean real bad names. But all in the church, I don't want to give anybody the big head. Somebody's serving God, encourage them, bless them, say thank God for you. You're a joy. You're a joy to be around. You're a witness. You just excite me. I feel this anointing. I feel the Spirit of God. I feel heaven. When you're around, I feel good. That's how we should feel about each other. On Sunday, we ought to feel good here. All week long, you got somebody buffing you, correcting you, and trying to get you down and doing ugly things in the highways of life. And first thing you know, I've been to restaurants where somebody give a waitress a real bad time over the food or something. She didn't even cook it. She just served it. And man, this guy laid her out. I felt so sorry for her. I left a tip for him. I mean, Christians don't act like that. We love. We walk in love. We love one another. Abraham laid the passage down for us to walk in, and he had a nation that was, this guy was so awesome. They robbed his household one day, took his servants and part of his family, and he said, told his men, get mounted, we're going after them. You know what he did? He brought the whole gang back. Step of faith is what we were looking for. Not your first and not your last. Abraham's journey went into a new land. It's a major step of faith. He left the little area called Ur of the Chaldean countryside. He'd been born there. In the south, they say he was reared there. Anybody ever heard that? Hello. I love my grandmother's English. It was hillbilly, but she, you knew what she was talking about. Boy, she could get your attention, I'm going to tell you. She could sing, we'll gather at the river and whip in you at the same time. Good old saint. Now, Hebrews 11, 8, and 9, I want you to turn over there because this is vital. This is vital. I mean, this is not my story, it's Abraham's. Hebrews, anybody know where it is? New Testament, after Corinthians, Colossians, Ephesians, come on. Hebrews 8, 9, we have it? It's the results of a new Bible. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Wow. Because they continue not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. He says he's going to make a covenant with them. We want 15:9. I think that's not the right passage. That was earlier. That's one I got to use later. 15:9-7. Boy, I missed my old Bible. Let's go to Hebrews 11. Now, I've never made a mistake. I'll tell you that right now. Penny says, you've never admitted. Even when a policeman gives you a ticket, you'd never admit it. He said, he made a mistake. He read the thing wrong. Why is he pulling me over? Oh, boy. Let me tell you about driving a car. When you're driving a car, never have an argument with whoever's in the car with you. That's a sure way to get a speeding ticket. Has that ever happened to anybody yet? Perfect congregation. Hebrews 8, chapter 11, verse 8. Are we there? By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out unto a place which he should do after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and he went, not knowing whither he would go. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, their heirs, and with them the same promise. For he looked for a city whose foundation stone of the world had foundations, who the builder and maker of God. Now, I want to pause there just for a moment. Growing up, getting married, having children, and jobs moving around the country, you go to new places, you leave your family. That's quite a challenge. You go off to college. Julie took Cole up to college and John over the weekend, and he said he's already called and talked for 30 minutes on the phone. I said, you better turn that phone off, girl. They'll have you a phone bill you won't want to pay. But the idea is you go to new places. You go to new places, new environments. Abraham was under a mandate to go and find a city that God was going to build, his maker and creator. And how he ever, except for divine guidance, why would he go to the place where God said, I got my eye on that place. I got my finger on that place, the city of Jerusalem. I got plans for that place. I'm going to build my temples there. I'm going to have my people work out of there. They're going to be my people's city, and I'm going to build it right there on that chosen spot. There's something about the city of Jerusalem. You can go to San Francisco and say, well, it's got, we had a great time. Everybody was. You can go to Miami. You can go to Paris, look at the Eiffel Tower, and walk away. You can go to Rome and look at the ruins of a wall and walk away. But when you go to Jerusalem, you'll weep, and you'll say, this is the place. This is the place. Some of you have been there. Ted, when you and your wife were there, they were the first ones in front of everybody, look, talking to the guide, right to them. I mean, Ted was thinking from his mouth to his ears. That's how interesting it is. The class, you don't care if you stay 30 minutes or an hour or whatever. The class is, there's no limits on time. Nobody's ringing a bell on you. You're just drinking it in. You're looking. Everywhere you look, there's something. Wow, look at this, look at this, look at this. But here's a whole property that God had sent him to. And do you know Abraham only owned one piece of ground in his entire life? It was his wife's burial place. He bought the ground. He wanted to give it to him. He said, no, I'll pay for it. That's the only piece he ever owned. And God promised him a nation. He walked by faith and not by sight. Our promise is in heaven, and we walk by faith and not by sight. We're believing that we're going to receive according to what God has promised us. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. We have to realize we are not stuck out in the mud somewhere. We're not there. We were on a safari in Tanzania one time, down in the Serengeti. When we would take a trip into Africa, we always took a day for a jungle ride, you know. And we're riding down the road, everything's fine, and our guide pulls off and said, I just got a phone call from a guy over here. He's stuck. So what? We got to go help him. He pulls off the road and starts going down through this godforsaken place that was full of holes and just bump, 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 bump. And finally, we see a guy stuck by halfway across the stream. Yeah, I'm okay with that. I mean, you know. So he said, we need some help to get behind it and push it. You mean like get out and get in the stream and push it? Yeah. Well, I'm a guest. I paid for this trip. I mean, you know, we're all tourist here. But the guy was stuck. Well, I was going to be real cool. I'm going to go barefooted, roll up my pants, you know. That didn't work. Them rocks were so sharp and so I put my shoes back on. I said, I can't do that. So the rest of that day, we remembered the guy that was stuck. We got him out. But I still remember that guy that got stuck. Abraham did something so profound that they remembered him down through history, and all they can say is he was a righteous man. And finally they said, he's a friend of God. He's a friend of God. All through the Bible, the reference for Abraham from Genesis in the early chapters, we have him now blessed and blessed and blessed. I want your life to be like that. From as early as you can remember, a child of God. A believer, accepted Christ in your teen years, your 20s, and a happy marriage, a good father, a good grandfather, and a happy camper when you get to heaven. Hear Jesus say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Be an Abraham yourself. Can I hear an amen? Are you willing to stand up and face it? Be bold and be strong in the Lord. Proclaim liberty. Be an intercessor. Be one that can study the word of God. Read it through until you can apply it in your life. You buy a brand new automobile, got a book about this thick, it comes with it. You know, most people throw it in the glove box and never read it. Give me some help here. Become a believer, you get a Bible. Got my Bible. Yeah, I get carried to church every Sunday. One time I was in a house visiting, and I was sitting on a couch, and man, I was sitting on something that was really hard, and I got up, and she said, don't pull that out, and I started to pull the cushion up, you know, and here's all these magazines. Oh, brother. I put the cushion back. I didn't want to go there. Bible right on the coffee table, right up on top. Oh, what was underneath? Do you hear me? This is our lifeline. This is our sure line. This is our promise book. Everything in the Word of God is true. Every promise is for us today. These are steps of faith that you're going to make. Journeying to a new land. Being a friend of God is an awesome thing. You know that? Then you can say, oh, that's my friend. God's my friend. Let's look at Hebrews 11:12. This verse is so powerful. In verse 11, he said, he faithfully, he had promised this. Therefore, spread thee even of one in him as good as dead, and so many as the stars of the sky and multitudes are, and as they stand, which is by the seashore, innumerable. God said, you're going to have children, you're going to have an army, you're going to have a base, that it's going to have more than you can imagine. And all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen it afar off, were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed them, and they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You know, when we talk about heaven today, you can't even comprehend it. Little Kim Elstock the other day laying here in a coffin. She wasn't there. Man, she's gawking, mouth wide open, like going to New York City the first time. Mouth wide open, you get your tonsils get sunburned. But you're not going to believe heaven. You're going to have to shake yourself and say, is this real? Disneyland is, the kids love it. I mean, it's a good place to go. I'm not anti-Disneyland, but I got a better vision than that. Higher calling. In our life, there's a time that you're going to realize you're crossing over into a zone that's closing the door behind you, and you're moving towards your goal. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Be a bold soldier. Be a good soldier. Be one that has the whole armor of God on you in Ephesians 6. Go out and witness about the name of the Lord. See, you never lose telling somebody how much Jesus loves them. And don't always brag on yourself, but brag on them. You know, you're a good person. All you need to do is just put Jesus in your heart. Let Jesus change your life. Get a vision of him. Abraham got caught God, and he walked with it. I mean, he had enough people on his side. God had blessed him, and he was like an army he had with him. When they broke into his camp and stole his people, he went after them, brought back all the spoils. Devil can't rob us if we don't let him. John 10:10 says, we know what he's come to do, rob, destroy, and kill. And yet, for some reason, we say, well, what can I do? All you got to do is bind him. All you got to do is bind him off your family. I mean, put the word of God on him. The word works. I said, the word works. So we know he was a man of faith, step of faith. He was steadfast. Now, if you don't know what that means, you mean this is consistently the same. He was the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Some Christians are like bobbers. Up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. I couldn't go to church today because, well, you know, the dog got loose and we had to go find a dog. Next week, it's a cat. Oh, maybe a couple weeks go by, then next week, well, we wasn't sure whether he was going to go or not because the kids wouldn't get up and I didn't want to get them stirred up, so I just let them sleep. You know, there's 1,000 reasons people aren't in church, but thank God there's millions that are. Got up and said, today I'm going to the Lord's house. We're going to rejoice. We're going to praise God. We're going to magnify the Lord. You're getting fuel. This is a fueling station. You're getting fuel for tomorrow and the tomorrows of your life. The experiences that you have in church, you can't get them nowhere else. I like house prayer meetings now. Home meetings, we've had them for years. I believe in them. But the church is the institution. Can I hear an amen? Thank you. But we can have church anywhere. Two or more are gathered in my name. Bring a third one in there and we got it. Let's go on. Let's have church. Guys used to have foxhole prayer meetings. And one would read a little scripture, throw it over to the next guy. A New Testament that we're giving them. Gideon's. And they read a verse or something. They throw it to the next guy. God honors all that kind of stuff. I mean, if we're going to be fanatics, let's not be fanatics for the world. Let's be fanatics for God. Abraham was a leader. He was one who, this man had the tenacity to go forward, 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 forward. He was never backing up for anything. He never was I'm so homesick for my dad's old idol shop. I wish I could go back there, carve idols again. He never said that. I'm going to go back to be what you used to be. Oh, boy. Hope no hands go up on that. We are transformed. We are a new generation. We are a creation of God Almighty, and every promise in the book is yours. Every promise, every chapter, every verse, every line. When you run on a promise, I've got a promise book. Every promise in the Bible is in that book. And I just keep reading it. Oh, I missed that one. I didn't know that was in there. I'm telling you, I'm claiming that one. I'm claiming this one. Oh, that old page. I want that old page. I claim every one of them. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Why do we say, well, that doesn't really mean what it says. You can't trust what they said. Holy Spirit, you can't trust the Holy Spirit. All this is inspired. Son of faith, steadfast man. And I believe Abraham was sacrificial. He gave up so much to fulfill the calling on his life. He was obedient. Obedience. You know, obedience is better than what? Sacrifice. So many people I've been in countries where they, at Easter time, and particularly in the Philippines and places like that, they want to carry the cross, and they take lashes, and people whip them, and they just keep beating them, and sometimes they put a tax and nails and things in their whips, and they're bleeding, and some of them want to get hung on the cross. You can be hanging on a cross every day of the year. If you don't accept Christ as your Savior, you're not saved. You do that for an open show to man. Down in Guatemala, we were down there, and they had this big parade going on, and of course, I had to get up on top of the steps and things and see what was going on, rubbernecking to get up there and see what was. Well, they had a black Christ and a coffin, a homemade church deal. And they said this was another, it wasn't Jesus Christ, it was another Christ. Oh, I got down off my pedestal. They got another Christ? Who was? And the guy was with me, who's the missionary, he said, I don't pay attention to it. You can't create your own Christ. You can't serve what man has made, man made. There's only one way, and Jesus is that way. To the cross. Surrender your life to Jesus. He'll forgive you of your sins. You have eternal life. Oh, thank God. We need a house full of intercessors. We need people praying down and changing environments. Why don't we talk about our communities? Oh, did you know this? And you know how bad things are, and they're going to do this, and they stop that. They're not going to do this. They're not even going to pick up my trash on Thursday. They won't take that plastic stuff tomorrow. Oh, what am I going to do? You don't know how good you got it. They're cutting Christians' heads off overseas. Quit crying and moaning, but get in the house of God and pray and fulfill the calling of God on your life. Be a witness. Let your light shine. We ought to make it mandatory. We sing This Little Light of Mine every Sunday. Every Sunday. You know, one we're little, but all together we're many. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it do what? Shine, shine, shine. Oh, how we need that, folks. You need to be a light in darkness. You need to be a good word in times of disappointment. In times of failure, you need to be encouragement. In times of depression, you need to be uplifting, edifying, strengthening. You need to be God's example. In the middle of a storm, you can say, let's go to the other side. I want you to know about Father Abraham. From Genesis all the way to James, they're talking about him. I can't wait to meet him. You'll know him way off. Abraham, that's him. Woo! Abraham. He must not get nothing done. People talk to him, don't want to stop, talk to him all the time around the world. Are you kidding? Father Abraham. Father Abraham. Well, I want you to know that God's plan for you is just as important as the plan for Abraham. You don't know how many lives you're affecting. If it's only where God has put you, that's all you got to do. You ain't got to worry about something else. But where you're at, where you're planted, you got to bloom, you got to blossom. You do that by being watered by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And let righteousness and holiness come out of your life. Say, well, you're a righteous man. When you get to heaven, you're going to be charged for being a righteous person. Righteous. Do you know how important that is to say you're righteous? Not wealthy. I didn't say wealthy. I said righteous. I've been to a lot of funerals in my ministry over the years. I've never seen a U-Haul truck behind the hearse. I've never seen a banker limousine behind saying, look what he left. Doesn't make any difference. Doesn't make any difference. It's what you show up with. I said it's what you show up when the books of life are opened. Bow your heads with me. This day, Lord, Abraham, give us an example that we can live by. The calling on his life was maybe greater than ours, but he was obedient. Once we learn to be obedient to the high calling in Christ Jesus, we don't yield or give in to the devil, the enemy, adversaries, those that are against us. We're more than overcomers. I ask you today to strengthen this congregation with power, the Holy Ghost, the Word of God, the whole armor of God, where they're able to go out and do battle and not be wounded in any capacity, spiritually, physically or mentally in any way. I curse the devil, what he's trying to do in families' lives, destroy families and tear them apart. We bind that in the name of Jesus. And we say we're more than overcomers, like Abraham, who is our example. In Jesus' name, amen.